Hey gang, welcome back. It's we watched stuff. This is 149. I meant to mention before we started this, we have a is 150 a historic show or is that just a nothing show? Joining me as always is Shahid. There we go. So
history is whatever you make it to be. So okay. If you want it to be important, then it's important. If it's you don't care, then it'll just be show 150.
Okay. So yeah, we were just discussing that it's been almost a week and a half, almost 2 weeks now since the last show, and I take blame for that. That's that. There is something that's not, well, I guess it's, yeah, sports is entertainment, so screw it. And, you know, I always say we don't like talking politics on the show, but LeBron James started his own public school, and it's part of the Akron public school system. And I believe he's using his own money.
Yes.
And I guess some public money, too, since it's a public school.
The teachers are being paid by the school system.
Okay.
But like everything else is like him and his organization.
Yeah. And there's a lot of really cool stuff they're doing. And I say cool, and that's an understatement. I understand that. And I'm kind of tired of LeBron James being such a good guy that I agree with the president, which is obviously sarcasm. This all started wrong. When do we stop reporting on our president saying stupid shit?
Look, here's the thing. People wondering about that. It's like it's never been an issue before because we never had a president like this before. Like if he was walking around naked every day, you know, people would be like, well, aren't you tired of talking about the president being naked? It's like it's the president of the United States and he's naked. Like that's new. Everything the president does that like has a, especially now with social media, is a thing because he makes it a thing. Like it's not a regular guy; it's the president.
Yeah,
and people keep trying to like do the whole, and that's the problem because he acts like a regular guy. People are trying to treat him like a regular guy. It's like no, this is the same guy that's in charge of nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. This is the same guy that like you know if he wakes up tomorrow says, "I want to make lead illegal." You can't own lead pencils anymore. Like, yeah, it's the president. It's not just some doofus with a mic.
Yeah, I get it. I know it's been, over 2 years now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's good. So there's a positive. We're over the hump. And every time I see him on TV, and that comes up, and it says, President Trump, or you see him getting off the helicopter, or he doesn't really do a lot of press conferences.
No, he does. He does a lot of rallies. He rarely does. He does a press conference here and there when it's something important that he does or he messed up something.
Yeah, but you just see this oaf. And I'm like, okay, the joke's over. And I will repeat this over and over again. It's like, the joke's over. Like, come on, let's come on already. Like, unzip this sweater. I don't know. Open the package so we see what's actually inside. Like, haha, 2 years, none of this counts. We're all joking around. I mean, I know this shouldn't be the last straw because it's not. He's going to say something else idiotic, but he's attacking somebody for doing good. And I know he didn't directly come out and attack him for opening the school, but he basically bashed Don Lemon, which, all right, that's a 50-50 shot sometimes. But in the same thing, takes a shot at LeBron James, where he's doing a public good.
You know, it's a reason he does it. And it's also a reason, like, whenever he talks about certain people, he always questions their intelligence. He's jealous of LeBron James.
Oh.
That's the big thing. It's kind of like he wanted to be friends with LeBron because it's my bro, some tweets a couple years. Like, it's, people all make a joke, it's a tweet for every day. Like, you know, so, like, they brought some old tweets when he was celebrating. I'm like, you know, I like to hang out and stuff. And, like, LeBron, like, it's funny people compare it to LeBron James came from poverty, didn't know his dad, had, like, a rough childhood, had to be pulled out of schools and stuff. And he's basically a self-made man. Donald Trump came from money. He had Trump University. You saw how that ended.
Yeah.
It's kind of like LeBron James is the man that people assume Donald Trump is. And Trump knows that deep down. So he sees this guy and it's like, how dare he be successful? That type of person. Like, it's not just LeBron James. It's like, how dare this black person, this black human being, be successful in America by himself. And it's like he always has problems with certain people that aren't supposed to be successful being successful. And he always questions it. Like, it's not an accident that he called them dumb. Because whenever he talks about certain people, he always questions their intelligence. Like, he doesn't question anything else. It's like, you know, he found, like, you know, Don Lemon, the dumbest person, yada, yada, yada. Found out one person that makes him look smart. That's not an accident that he used those words. Like, he's good for doing that because his base thinks certain things about people like him. It's like, oh, look at these dumb guys pretending to be smart. How dare they? And anything like that. And it says a lot that his own damn wife is like, yes, the man started a school with his own money. We should be celebrating stuff like this. Like, what are you doing? His wife.
Who, all right, and I know this gets into, like, gossipy stuff, but the wife that went, are you joking? Like, all the humility she's had to take, which, you know, maybe she knew all the time and it didn't care as long as it just stayed that way. You know, there are couples like that, especially power couples. But having all of this stuff just paraded in front of her, and then she's been pretty quiet or supportive, one of the two. Whether it's true or not, whatever. But this time, it's like, no, that's enough. I just thought that was a weird, like, one, a weird time to take the choice, but then at the same time go, yeah, that's pretty much, I think that was a final straw. Like, this could be, because she gets trashed pretty regularly, too.
Because she does her own stuff. And yeah. People try to say, oh, that's because of her husband. Like, no, she's got her own issues and everything like that. But then every now and then she comes out with, like, you know, that whole Lex Luthor thing, like, I'm a villain, but I ain't that villainous.
Yeah. Yeah, was it Lionel? What was John Cryer's name? Lionel Luthor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that was the dad from Smallville. Never mind.
Yeah, what, it was like his, was his cousin, was his, what was it, like his brother, cousin, nephew, or something?
I know the, his nephew, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot his name on the movie, but I know you're talking about.
No, never mind, I was pretty in pain. Different. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm trying to look it up real quick. I've tried to forget this movie too, which is probably a big part of it. But yeah, no, I saw that Lenny, that was his name. Lenny Luthor. There we go. But no, that was, like, I saw that over the weekend or during the week, and I didn't even bother bringing it up, but then I just saw, like, it came back again, and I'm with you, man. This is, I guess part of what I was trying to say is, like, when is this dummy going to stop being a dummy? And it's not going to happen, and there's the frustration.
Like, yeah, like, when he's no longer president, basically.
No, the only president...
People won't care. People won't care, but at, like, he'll still be doing stupid stuff. No one will just care once he's out of, like... People only care now because they have to care.
Yeah.
Like, because he was saying stupid stuff before, you know, for a long time. Nobody paid any mind. Now they pay mind, like, oh, I didn't know he was like that. It's like, yeah, he was always like that. People just didn't pay attention.
And I wonder, though, how that power of being an ex-president is. Because, really, George W. Bush is the one that just went, nah, I'm done. I'm going to paint my dumb paintings, and I'm out of here. You don't hear anything from him.
Yeah, because... One of the things was he was already rich before he became president, yeah. So he doesn't need to do stuff to, like, make money, and it's kind of like no one – like, people tend to forget before Trump came, Bush was, like, the worst president of the generation, so It was like he was going to go out there and try to rehabilitate his image. He probably didn't even care. He's like, you know what, whatever. It's done. I'm done, and now he gets – Now is the funny thing where people tend to forget about him because Trump is there. Like, everybody else, like, actually does things because they, you know, young enough to do stuff or care enough to do stuff or, quite frankly, make money. Bush had money. So why would – like, if you already got the money and you're not worried about, like, rehabilitating your image and you're not that type of person, then why bother?
Yeah, and then also, I mean, I just wonder, though, like, especially in Trump's case, having that ex-president moniker – how quickly people want to forget, and it won't. But it won't matter because the power won't be there. But it's still like, oh boy. And I know it's like I don't pay that much attention. But when it when I do see something, that's when I know it's bad.
Yeah. I'll just say this. It's a lot of people who are thinking like, oh, you know, when Trump is gone, things will go back to normal. Nope. And I'm like, no, this is normal. Y'all just hearing about it now. It's like these people didn't just wake up one day and start saying these stuff in this way. Like, they've always felt this way. They're just more emboldened to say it because it's accepted now. Like, people just didn't wake up one day and decide, oh, I'm gonna be a neo-Nazi. That ain't something you just do. Like, I'm gonna start doing that. That started a long time ago. It's just like, you know, 10, 15 years ago, people knew better. Because it's like, we knew this was bad. I might say this and act like this. So I'm not going to do it out loud. It's not a mistake that you, every time you go on Twitter and Facebook, you see all these videos of these, oh, I saw this black person drinking coffee at a Starbucks. I didn't recognize him. I'm calling the cops. And that's happened, like, you know, my friends ask like that. Like, why is this? I'm seeing this 9 times a week. I'm like, because they feel more emboldened to do it. They've always felt that way. It's like, now it's like, you know, I'm not the bad guy for doing that. And like that ship sailed, that whole, we're going to be respectable, small government, like suit and tie Republicans once we get Trump. I'm like, no, y'all, that's how y'all might have thought y'all been in like the 70s. But that ship has sailed. Like, you can't have these dudes like, oh yeah, you know, I went on a date with 14-year-olds. It was a different time then. What time was it? The 1700s? Like, what time you thought that was a good time to do that? It's like, you had people like that, that's congressmen and senators, and everybody's like, well, you know, it's fine. Like, they don't just change overnight because one person's gone.
And I know, well, I don't know if it's too early now, but I would hope, and I'm not one that votes along party lines, but I would hope the Democrats have somebody lined up that's not going to be a shit show. And I understand people want change, and they want this, and they want this, and I get it. But there's no chance in hell they can pick somebody who is going to do all far lefty stuff.
But here's the problem, though, and I hear people saying that, like, you need to get somebody, because the issue is, it's two different directions that the Democrats are going. It's just one group saying like, oh, we need to get somebody that's safe and in the center and stuff, so we can get these people who voted for Obama and voted for Trump, and maybe we can get them back. And then everybody else is like, no, because that's not gonna work. Like, that white guy in the coal mine, is you can try to get them back all you want, he's not gonna like you, he don't like black people, he don't like foreigners, he don't like gay people. You really trying to, like, what if you're trying to get this person that don't like you just to get a spot, what are you really trying to do? Because even if you get them, it's not going to be the way you want it to be. And more likely, you're not going to get them anyway. So I know it's that whole, you don't want to get somebody like that. But it's like, doing it the whole safe way didn't work. I thought people would have learned their lesson with John Kerry when they tried that the first time. And it's a lot worse now. It's like, get the person you believe in, because it's not an accident that places like Georgia and Tennessee are like voting Democratic people out of nowhere, and people like, how this district that's been Republican for 30 something years all of a sudden gets some weirdos. Like, because people it's a lot of people that's sick and tired of getting stuff, you know, snatched from them. I don't know if I told you, I don't know if we talked about on the show, I can drive, I live in the suburbs, I live in a nice area, I can drive 5 minutes and drive by houses that have Confederate flags hanging up. Yeah. Less than 5 minutes. 2 minutes. I can drive around the corner and drive up the road, and these aren't little small ratty houses. These are nice homes. And I can see, and I saw it, because it was a small United States flag, a small Texas flag, and then higher up above them, a big-ass Stars and Bars flag. And it wasn't a free bird. I didn't see P.S. Hayes. I didn't see, you know, a Gordy license plate, anything like that. It's like, and this area, like, I live near Austin. Austin's votes Democratic. Dallas votes predominantly Democrat. Even San Antonio leans blue. Like, the big cities in Texas are like Democrat. But you can, and those people are tired of this whole, everybody thinks we're a bunch of gun-toting weirdos. But I'm like, gun-toting weirdos are right around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we have plenty of that around here, too. So, and it's weird. to me, it's weird that, like, even people I know, they'll say stuff, and I was looking, I'm like, what'd you just say? Like, where the hell is this coming from? And, with, I mean, obviously not going into detail, because it's not my place,
yeah.
But it's still, like, it gives you pause. Like, I've known you for a few years now, and what the fuck did you just say? And then I go, oh, all right, so, hey, man, we'll see you later. It's like, eh, probably not. So, it's not worth the confrontation, and peace fuck out, dude. That's cool. It's a weird time. And,
yeah.
I mean, I know you're saying it's not weird that it's how it is, but for the people who just, like, I don't live inside of anything. I'm always on the fringe because I like doing my own thing. So when I get dragged into this stuff, and it's noticeable, especially when, to get back to the point of this, that we have, and to, like, get to the positive of this, LeBron James is a pretty polarizing figure in sports. Really, outside of sports, too. With the way he handled, especially he had the one mistake, depending on how you look at it, of how he handled him leaving Cleveland to begin with. People really hate him for that still. And then you don't hear about any of his, like, the charitable stuff. Like, I don't know. I don't watch ESPN. I don't know how much they covered this school announcement stuff.
They covered it.
Okay, good.
A lot.
And as they
like, because everybody, because it's like a man opened up a school. You know how people make jokes like, yeah, LeBron's great, but if he does something like, what, get to me when he does something really important, like open up a school. Mm-hmm. And he opened up one. It's like, what do you need to do now? Build a rocket ship? Like, we don't, it's a shame that, yeah, but the whole thing, it's like kind of like, it's a shame that we have to expect athletes, and normally it's minority athletes, like, you know, like they need to give more to the community, they need to do this. Why? Like, it's good that they do. Why is that their job? Like, why is LeBron James having to open up a school? Like, that's the question that people should be asking, not Trump, like, oh, questions to tell them. Like, that shouldn't be his burden. He took it upon himself because nobody else was doing it. But it's kind of like this whole, and it's a, that's the thing, kind of like, it's different when you're like a minority. It's kind of like, you have to, like, once you lean towards certain jobs, it's kind of like, you're not just doing it for you. It's like, you know, you got to do this because you have to represent everybody. You have a role model. And, like, for me, and I made jokes with my friends, like, you know, people go on Twitter, it's like, you know, is it just me? Or people always say, like, you know, everyone thinks they're special, but it's like, it's 6 billion people, so I'm sure you can run into somebody doing the same thing you're doing. And I made the point, it's like, I never see people like me that's doing what I'm doing. Like, I haven't seen, like, I went to a black school. Our class was like 120 people, and it's 6 African-American men. 6 out of 120. And this is a predominantly black school. Like, it was more Asian guys than black guys.
Now, are you talking college? Is that what you're talking about?
Pharmacy school.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I went to college. My class would be 25 people, and it'd be 18 women, me, some other guy, and a white guy there on, like, you know, minority scholarship or something like that. You know, I'm in my own department. I'm the only black person in my department. Like, I don't see people like me. It's kind of like, you know, and I hear all the time, oh, I didn't know they had black pharmacists, like, when they were men. And when I first heard it, I'm like, what are y'all talking about? Like, that made, like, this is like, this is the 21st century. But then I look around, I just notice, it's like, yeah, they don't, people don't think they could do the job, so they don't do the job. So when they see one, it's like, oh, I can do it. And that's always the thing where if it I made the joke all the time, if it had been up to me, if I knew the whole medical thing, I'd have been a trash man.
All right, just knowing you, I can't see that at all.
That was my thing. I'm like, it's a good job. They make money. They do their job and go home. It serve a purpose. No fuss, no muss. So I was like, I can, and I don't mind washing, taking a bath when I get home. It's fine. That's what I wanted to do. And I'm like, nah, you got this brain. You can't waste it. You need to do something for a role model, an example. It's like whenever, like, LeBron James, people telling him, like, you know, you have all this power, you need to use it. I'm sure if he had his, you know, it might be a part of him saying, why can't I just have a boat? Well, or like a, you know, be like Elon Musk and just have, like, you know, build spaceships and submarines? Why can't I just do that? Why can't I have a house that has like robots in every room? Instead, I gotta build a school to take care of the community because nobody else is doing it. And now my jackass president is calling me dumb because I did something that he couldn't do.
Yeah. Well, like I hate to say it like this, but let's temper it because it's not a success yet. But I also don't think he's gonna be ripping people off. It's not gonna be, well, he can't rip anybody off, really. It's tuition free, right?
Yeah, like yeah. It's all right, so, it's tuition. They taking care of tuition, food, the supplies. They each person getting a bike. They doing like job placement for the parents. Like basically all the stuff that he dealt with growing up as a kid. It's like, you know, I had to deal with all this stuff, and this is why school was hard. So I'm gonna try to take care of all these things. So it's not like common sense stuff. Like, oh, food was an issue. We're gonna have food. Job placement issue for the parents. We're gonna help them find jobs. Transportation was an issue. We're gonna do this. Like simple stuff. I need groceries to make something. So this is the list of food. Go get it. And it's funny. Simple things work. People try to make stuff complicated all the time that doesn't hit the root of the problem. He's been through that, so he knows. Like, you know, I didn't have this. I want to make sure, you know, the kids have this because I needed it.
I think we leave it on that. So the best of luck. I mean, honestly, the best of luck to him. And I've already noticed. What was it, Derrick Rose? Another maligned basketball player, for that matter. He donated, what, $400,000 for local scholarships or something? Like the same day or the day after?
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, my whole take on rich guys are, or rich people, you got the money, you do with it what you want. So when you see someone do something charitable like this, the last thing that should happen is you going, well, you're an idiot. And not in the fact that you're an idiot for giving your money away, but just for saying, hey, you're dumb. Dumb people don't do this sort of stuff. And I know this is the most ridiculous thing to try and explain, because it should be common sense, which I'm very big on. It's just in how it went from, and we did the same thing, how it went from this pro athlete, regardless of who it is, but in this case, he's got to be one of the biggest in the world, to starting a school, helping people out, trying to make people's lives better, trying to make, you know, that small community better, to the most powerful man in the world, I'll put that in quotes, I guess, calling him dumb.
Because he's a weak man.
Yeah. And he's our fucking president.
Yes. If anyone, I mean, we can wrap it up here.
Yeah,
if anyone doubts, I'll just say this. If anyone doubts the power of racism, I would just say people hated Barack Obama so much that they elected a moron.
Yes.
That brought his group of morons to basically run the country in the ground, and they're like, oh, well, you know, that's okay, I guess. And I laugh every time you hear these stories, like, you know, somebody voted for him and then their wife gets deported. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen to me. Oh, so you were fine? Yeah, exactly. Like, why do you think you were special? You was fine when it happened to everybody else. Like, oh, well, you know, he got to be tough. It happened to you. It's like, oh, well, maybe he had a reason. Yeah, he don't care about you. That's his reason. Like, no one cares about – like, this whole thing. No one cares about health insurance. So they breaks their leg and need health insurance. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, we got to do something, America. It's like, no. It shouldn't have to happen to you for you to care about it. But normally, you really going to care when it happens to you. If you had a care earlier, maybe you'd been better off.
Yeah, and I don't want to go down the road I was going to. But speaking of things that no one really cares about, there was a Venom trailer released last week, a new one. So there you go. It wasn't terrible, but I still had the same reaction. Like, okay.
Okay, hold on. Before we get to Venom.
Oh, no.
I just saw this breaking thing, and now this is your perfect thing. So, you know, Tekken adds like special character. You know, video games add like special character, like Mortal Kombat was adding, like, you know, Michael Myers and Freddy Krueger. So, Tekken 7 added some people. It's like some old characters from their games, and they added And I only brought this up because this is our show and you watch the show. Negan from The Walking Dead.
What?
Is going to be in Tekken 7.
Okay. Yes. How weird is that? I mean, I guess he smashes people with baseball bats, but...
But it's kind of like... Would you normally get these type of crossover things? It's normally like horror villains, like stuff that people have heard about. Like, you know, Predator's been around for, what, 20-something years?
Yeah.
You know, Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, they've been around. How many people heard of Negan before the show came on?
If
you read the comic, yeah, but it's like, it wasn't a lot of people reading the comic. And I'm just looking at this, and I'm like, I just laugh, like... That's the world we live in.
What a weird... I was never a huge fighting game person, but I know Tekken. But yeah, okay. That's just weird. Everyone else is going to be doing all these karate moves, jump flips, all this stuff, and he's going to have a bat.
Yeah. That's the whole thing. Yeah. Like, it's Tekken. Everybody fights with their hands for the most part. And now he's cheating.
Yeah, well... What a... Okay, I mean, good for them. I don't know how it's gonna work because I don't know how popular Walking Dead is much anymore. So, especially with Andrew Lincoln leaving,
I mean, they got a picture of him. He's got the bat. He's got the leather jacket. Man, no, it's because it's on their like official Twitter video, and somebody retweeted it, and I'm like, wait a second, and then I'm, wow, it's kind of like, I'm trying to think the equivalent, like if John Wick just showed up on like Street Fighter, and everybody throwing fire, he just pulls a gun out, like Street Fighter, because Tekken is like the most, it's funny, like. You don't follow like fighting games. Street Fighter is probably the most popular one. Tekken sells the most. Like Tekken sold like the most copies, like fighting video games of all time, like this series. But you would never know unless it's like something you do. I'm just saying that. Like that's just still weird. Just thinking about that, and it's kind of like that's the world we live in, where stuff like that just happens, and you just go with it, I guess.
And it's funny. It's actually Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and not the comics version of him. Because the comics version is a big dude.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey Dean Morgan is not. So, wow. All right.
You know how cool that is? You tell your son, like, hey, boy, you know that game you're playing? I'm going to be in it. Yeah. And it's not even my show.
Damn. Yeah, I'm going to be in a jail cell this entire season. Unless they change everything. So.
Yeah. So, but back to what we were going to talk about. The Venom trailer. I don't know. It's funny. It's my thought. Like, I'm watching it, and my whole thought process is, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be good. I'm leaning toward it's going to be bad, but it's like enough people in it that I think they don't want it to be bad, but it's like, I don't know. And now they're trying to talk about, like, maybe it won't be an R. It might be PG-13. And we don't... No.
If they're waffling on that, that's never a good... That's never a good sign.
Like, you go... Because it's kind of like you go one way or the other.
Uh-huh.
And in this case, it's not a big name... It's not like a big budget thing. You might as well go R. Like, just go with what you're doing and stick to it. It still goes to this whole, we're only making this to be petty. And that's always, that thought process is always, like, there. And then you hear the stories about, you know, they going to do Kraven the Hunter. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's people, and we were making jokes on Twitter, like, you know, are they going to have, like, Indecent Proposal starring Mary Jane, Peter, and Norman Osborn? Like, you just want to make bad movies with, you know, Spider-Man characters and not use Spider-Man, just do that. You know, have Mary Jane be an escort to pay the bills, because Spider-Man don't get a check. Like, what's Ashley? You know, we don't have Ashley Judd movies anymore. Y'all miss those so much. In common movies, knock out two birds with one stone. Web Lies. starring Mary Jane as a high-end escort. She get caught up with, you know, Norman Osborn. Will Peter find out? What will he do? There you go. $35 million budget.
I'm editing that entire section out of this show. Cause
no, no, we might, we the, might as well keep...
We have celebrities that listen to our show now, so...
We well, might well, as hopefully. Well. It can't be any even sillier than, you know, Tom Hardy with whatever accent he's using, running around talking to himself with those wonky-ass special effects. And, like, I guess he eats somebody and makes a joke about it. Like,
yes.
Yeah, like, it's... Okay. You could say anti-hero stuff all you want. Eating people's villainy. You get to that point.
They well, they're ain't bad anti-hero. People, though.
So, yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
I know.
I know, that's nice. Like, you know, and I just, it's, I saw it. I saw the trailer and I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm going to probably watch it because we watch everything.
You know, we're going to see it.
We're going to see it. And it's like, you know, I'm not like 100% negative. I'm just more the whole why. Mm-hmm. And I know the reason why, but I'm like, no one, it's no reason for this. There's no reason for this. It's like doing a Magneto movie with, and not mentioning anything from the X-Men.
Yeah. Basically. Well, like, I was going to say Logan, maybe. But that they mentioned the X-Men at least. So.
Yeah, but at least Logan's an X-Men.
Exactly,
yeah. Yeah, like, you can do a hero by yourself. Like, it's no villain you care. Like, Doctor Doom may be the only villain by himself that you could kind of do something that's, like, layered enough to do that story and make it justice. Because everybody else is kind of like... You know, like the Joker stuff, the more you hear about it, like they're throwing all these actors and everything like that. And it's like no one cares about where he came from. That's the point of that's one of the, his bright points. Like you don't know where he came from and he lies about his origin story and stuff like that. It's like he just shows up being a nut job. That's it. You don't need to see, like, you know, people want chicken wings. They don't need to see how the chicken wings are cooked. Oh, we got to show you how we found this chicken, stole it from his family, killed it, and plucked it. And it's like, no one cares about that. They just want the wings at the end. That's how the Joker is.
Yeah, I was going to get to the Joker here when you said about something about a process. Excuse me, I started choking. The Mary Jane thing, but we'll get to that in a second. I'm watching the Venom trailer going... This could be anything. You don't even... I mean, outside of the design when he's in the Venom... The symbiote takes over. Not symbiote. I know that's petty. They've got the bad guy saying it, too. I thought it was just the lady. Like, it's because of her accent or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I've heard it both ways in the trailer. I've heard symbiote and I've heard symbiote, symbiote.
Yeah.
I'm like... And it's one of those things where... You didn't hear it out loud, so you just read it all the time, so you just assume it's pronounced one way. So when you hear it pronounced something else, it's like, oh, that's wrong. And then people say, like, technically you can do both, and then they get in a whole pissy fight over a silly word. And it's like, yeah, if I didn't know, like, you only know it's Venom because you see him in a Venom outfit, like, twice. Beyond that, you don't know what that is. Because, like, Venom works as part of the Spider-Man universe. It's nothing about that that screams, that's part of the Spider-Man universe. And it's like, okay, it could be anything. I mean, it could be a thing for all we know. Like, it can, unless you, like, up until the end, it's like, who are they market? Let's kind of like, you're making this movie to market to a certain fan base that doesn't want this movie.
Yeah.
And if I'm the average person... Unless I like Tom Hardy a lot, why would I see this?
That is okay. Now, I think Tom Hardy's a great actor. He's not a box office draw, though.
Exactly.
So, I understand, like, I don't know if there was the mad rush between Marvel, DC, and I guess Fox. No. Sony. Yeah, Sony. To get Tom Hardy in one of these movies. Well, we got him first, so... And it's like, okay, but... He's always good in his movies, but you can't market him.
It's only, here's the thing, and it's going to lead into the movie we talk about. There are only so few actually movie stars that are left because the whole thing is like somebody learned, and I'm trying to think when it started. I want to say it started like in the 2000s that it was easier. Like late 90s, 2000s, it was easier to sell an idea than to sell a movie star, because it's kind of like, you know, if we have this idea and people care about the idea, do we really need to pay somebody $20-25 million? And it's kind of like, it, people blame like comic movies. It started with disaster movies, like Jurassic Park, Twister. That's when it started, because it's kind of like, who's the biggest actor in Jurassic Park?
I'm trying to think back. I would say Goldblum, maybe. Goldblum in that one.
Yeah, yeah. And he's not even a star. Like Sam Neill and Laura Dern's a star. They weren't stars when that movie came out. Samuel Jackson just Barrett was just a thing. Like, he wasn't even like, I don't even know if Die Hard with a Vengeance had came out yet. Like, he was just kind of starting up, and it was like, you know, I want to say pre-Pulp Fiction. So like, yeah, like Twister, I mean, we love Bill Paxton. He wasn't like a movie star, but it was like, you there to see, you know, a hurricane, like you there to see Twisters.
Yep.
And it's kind of like, you know, if I can do this, and then they double down like comic movies, I'm selling ideas. I don't need big time movie stars. So it's like, character actors are just character actors. Like Michael Fassbender is a great actor. No one goes to a movie just for him.
Nope.
No one goes to a movie just to see Tom Hardy. Like, basically, if you're not, what, Leonardo, Denzel, The Rock, Tom Cruise in certain movies, or like Melissa McCarthy or Kevin Hart, yeah, it's kind of like, or Mark Wahlberg in certain movies, it's like, you know, you get in where you fit in. You know, if you're in a movie I like, I'll see you. I've never heard anybody say, you know, oh yeah, Oscar Isaac is opening this movie, I have to go see this. And everyone will acknowledge that Oscar Isaac is a great actor, but that don't mean squat these days. Yeah. Like, if you're not a movie star, it doesn't matter. He's not a movie star, so him being a movie is not like, oh well, I wasn't gonna see it, but Tom Hardy, I guess I'll see it now. I doubt a lot of people are saying that.
Right. Well, especially with this character that the I was going to say the public doesn't know, but if you watch comic movies, you know who it is. And it didn't exactly leave a great taste in your mouth after seeing
but
it.
But that's the thing. The public, like, you know, we talk about Deadpool is more popular. It was, you know, Deadpool is like a 90s character that stayed popular. Because he was kind of, and I was surprised by how popular he was. It's like, he stayed popular for a long time. Venom was straight from the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, he was real popular when that came out. But it's been like, if you didn't read comics, you didn't really know who he was. And the one time you saw him was like a trash-ass version of Spider-Man 3, which was quite a while ago. So it's like, now you're just going to do a movie with him?
Like, yeah. And having...
It basically be doing like a Bane movie.
Oof. Oh my god, could you imagine that? Like that version of Bane where you had such a hard time understanding him for the entire movie? Oh, wow.
Let me tell you where I was on before I got the mask.
No. We're good. You told us that small snippet, and that's fine. That wasn't turned out not to be you anyways. But no, that's cool. Don't worry about it. But
Jeremy, every legend needs an origin story.
So
yeah, hearing him, and it's a funny thing. Like, I love that character in that movie, but I always laugh when he talks because it just sounds so damn ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that was and they altered the voice too to make it sound more easier to understand, which says a lot. Like how, because you see old clips of how it sounded before, like it used to sound worse.
I thought they kept it the same. Really?
Oh. They compared the scene, like, when they had a first split, like, the first time you heard him, and they had, like, the plane sequence, and he's talking.
Right. No,
His voice sounds a lot deeper and a lot more muddled. Like, it sounds like Bane with a cold.
Well, speaking of, you know, the Joker movie, we got to talk about a little bit, just a little. Robert De Niro is in this. Mark Maron, comedian and actor from Glow, I'm sure people know. Let's see. There were some other... Well, IMDb's not updated. God damn it. They made some other casting choices, and these casting choices, they're playing strippers, junkies, comedians, and whatever else. And I'm reading this news like, what movie are they making? Like, is this... Is this like a Hangover type thing without jokes? Or I'm confused what this is going to be. Because apparently somebody is the guy that causes the Joker to have a meltdown and turn to crime and murder people. Which just sounds, you know, cliche as can possibly be. Which I guess anything the Joker that happens in this movie is going to be a cliche, I guess. I just don't know about the high hopes for this at all. And maybe this is just one of those, we're just bagging on this thing to begin with, and we're not giving it a chance, which I'm not trying to do, but it's really hard not to do.
It's just too much. We talked about noise before with Sony. It's way more noise with Warner Brothers. Let's see what the whole thing is like. When it first came out, I was like, you know, this is a Joker movie, but it's separate from this other Joker movie we're doing with, can't even think of the name, Jared Leto. And it's like, one, and then you hear about it, and it's like, first, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio was going to star, and Scorsese was going to be the producer, and now it's like Joaquin Phoenix. Like, nothing against Joaquin Phoenix, he's a great actor, but it's like, it got to the question, why? Mm-hmm. Especially, it's like, you're trying to find all the goodwill you need, and it's like, this is a story, it's separate from the other stuff, and it's just like, why? Like, I don't know. It's kind of like, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, because we always say, you know, it'd be good if comic movies, like, you take comic stories and do different type of movies. Like, it doesn't have to be the same green laser in the sky and a bunch of explosions. Yeah. Like, you know, Logan was different. You know, like, Marvel has done different type of movies now. Logan was different than most things that came out. Like, you know, you should be able to, like, expand your horizons. But not just throwing stuff against the wall. Like, I guess the idea, like, a psychological comic movie will work, but not as, like, a Joker origin. It seems like it's like you're doing the King of Comedy again.
Yeah.
You're substituting Robert De Niro for the Joker. Like, and you got Robert De Niro in it. It's kind of like, my whole thing is, the idea sounds fine, but the people you're marketing to are going to look at this like, what are you doing? Like, what's the age range of people? Like, people maybe your age and partly my age might have seen, like, that type of movie in, like, the 80s. Who's going to be in their 40s? Like, yeah, I want to see this psychological thriller with the Joker. Mm-hmm.
Especially after, you know, we already had Heath Ledger. You had mixed results with Jared Leto. And if it was, if they were just recasting Jared Leto with Joaquin Phoenix and making this like an incontinuity thing, which I know DC movies, they're trying to tell us they're getting away from that, but okay. I guess it'd be a little easier to take.
Yeah.
But in this case, no, we're going to do something totally different, even though Aquaman and, you know, the two that are getting the good pub right now, Aquaman and Shazam, you know, they're in the same universe. But this one's totally set. It's like, why? I know I've said you can have stuff that doesn't confuse people, but
no, this is too confusing.
Yeah.
It's because they're trying to do both, and it's kind of like, you either do it the Marvel way or you do it the Fox way. Don't try to do both, because it's like, the Marvel way is like, you know, we're going to try to have everything tied up as much as possible. People complain about it, like saying, oh, that's too staid. It's like, it keeps everything making a reasonable amount of sense. So you kind of jump in, it's like you kind of know what's going on. It's tough if, like, you know, you're jumping in late because it's like, what's all this new? Who is this guy? But it's like, it is what it is. Fox has always been like loosey-goosey where they did their movies and then they jump backwards. But then some movies, like, you know, they start getting sloppy with continuity. Like, you know, they add this character that doesn't make any sense. And then they just decided, like, you know what? Whatever, we just gonna do stuff. It's like, yeah, it happened in the future, cause like the Wolverine and Logan's like, you know, it's in the X-Men universe, but you don't know what really happened. It's like, okay, stuff happened. X-Men broke up.
Yeah, the X-Men broke up because Professor X murdered them all.
Apparently. Yeah, like even like in like the Wolverine, it's like, you know, yeah, the X-Men, I'm not part of X-Men anymore. Jean's dead. Everybody left, but they don't really like talk about. It's like, it's there, you Joker saw the movies, like, let's keep, like y'all saw these movies, keep it moving. And they kept it moving. It's not the most elegant way of doing stuff, but they did it and they made it work as much as possible. DC is like, even their problem was this: they tried to do a universe starting with Man of Steel, and they should have started with like Batman. Mm-hmm. It's problem. And it's kind of like they wanted to, you know, so they did a brand new Batman and made a origin story about him. Like, he's been doing all stuff for a long time. and then you pop in Wonder Woman, and then you pop in the, like, you pop in all these people, you don't know what half of them doing. But then Wonder Woman does their thing, and it's kind of like, if you watch Batman versus Superman, and then you watch Wonder Woman, and then you watch Justice League, stuff doesn't make sense anymore. It's like, okay, Wonder Woman just hid all the, like, they try to do as good a job as possible to say, like, you know, to try to make Wonder Woman fit, but it's like, you trying to tell me Wonder Woman did all this stuff in World War One, and nobody heard about her from then to now? Yeah. Like, and then even then, it's like, oh, well, she hid away. But then you hear about Wonder Woman 84, it's like, okay, so she popped back up in 84 and y'all forgot about her again? It's kind of like, it's kind of like, it's like, you know what? We're telling our own stories because we don't feel like fitting in your stupid ass storyline.
But I also wonder if that's going to be, because there's rumors that Flash is starting filming next year, and that's going to be Flashpoint, which...
No, actually, they said that it's not going to be that anymore.
Oh, it's not? All right. Oh, good. Yeah. That's pretty nuts if it was.
Yeah. Just so, like they said, Batman, it's not going to be year one Batman anymore. That's why Jake Gyllenhaal dropped out.
Yeah, and now he's doing...
Spider-Man.
That's right. Forgot. Get Mysterio. Mm-hmm. Weird.
Yeah.
But, no, DC, like, I don't know. Maybe they're just using Wonder Woman now as the template. And they're like, hey, look, we got Superman, we got Batman. They're here. Aquaman's going to do his thing. This is going to happen. Don't worry about what we said before. Without acknowledging it, I wonder if they're just going with that. Like, the hell with it.
You might as well. This,
yeah.
I would just focus on doing good. Because the whole thing like this, that whole universe thing, if you ain't doing it right, don't do it. Just make good movies. People will see the movies if it's good. And some people might complain, like, where does fit in? Most people ain't going to care. My wife's not going to care about. And she was, the whole thing is, like, when she watched DC movies, she can tell the difference because, like, these don't seem fun.
Yeah, well.
That's, like, she didn't know what. She didn't know what DC was, but she kind of knew, like, this isn't Marvel. Like, it's like, it does. And I could tell, like, you know, it just seems like. Like, she liked Wonder Woman. She. I don't even know if she. Yeah, she didn't like Batman versus Superman. And I don't even think she saw Justice League with me. So. And it's kind of like, it just, it seems. And it seemed like Marvel movies seem. Are fun. And DC movies, like, have some fun spots around a bunch of drudgery. And it's like, Wonder Woman's fun. Make enjoyable movies and worry about the other stuff later. Instead, and it's funny where their whole thing's like, that's our new policy. We're just going to focus on making good movies. Thanks, Dad.
It's like, well, because a person we both know works for a firm that works, or works with a company that works with a fast food joint. And... it's hilarious, like, the policies that go on behind the scenes. Like, they don't think this fast food joint's doing it right because of this, and we're losing money, we're losing customers because things are too expensive. And I'm trying to be as vague as possible, but it works. And instead, it's like, no, it's because your food sucks. That's why. It's not, it's not healthy for anybody, and it's not good. So how about you make the stuff fresh again like you used to? Instead,
you know,
of putting
who, yeah,
3-hour bins that steam the fucking food.
You know who learned that making good food is the key to success? Domino's.
Yep.
That's what they did. I read the story, like, you know what? We realized that our food sucked. So we went back to the drawing board. We asked people what was wrong. They said our food sucked. So we spent years on making our food not sucking again. And that's all it took.
Yeah, and it seems to be doing pretty well for them.
It definitely does. Like, I used to be like Papa John's person all the time because, like, urban thing was, you want a good food, Papa John's. Domino's was trash. Pizza was whatever. Now it's like, I'll get Domino's all day long. Like, I don't know what they changed, but you can tell it's better. And that's the simple thing. Make our food taste better.
Yeah.
That's all it took is, like, you know, and that's the whole thing. Like, make good movies. People will see it. Don't worry about this whole... People learned the wrong lessons from two movie franchises, and it's funny because the franchise we're going to talk about doesn't follow any one of them. From Batman, they thought everything had to be dark and gritty, and from Marvel, they thought everything had to be a universe. So it's kind of like they were going to have a monster universe. They were going to have, like, Transformers and G.I. Joe and Rom the Space Knight. It's like you're just throwing stuff in that don't even fit. And the only other universe that's working besides Marvel is the one with Godzilla and King Kong. How does that make sense?
Well, it's Let's working right now because they're separate.
You know, no, you know why it's working? Because they focus on making good movies.
Well, they also focus on the monsters too. Like, if you, I mean, if you think about those, Godzilla and King Kong, they didn't dick around with King Kong. There he is, and he's the giant ass monkey fighting people. And
he dicked around with Godzilla though.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like maybe people like, you know what, that Godzilla was great, but people really want to see more of the monsters, so let's make sure we don't do that with King Kong. Which, because it's funny, you wouldn't think. They seem like two completely different movies that work in completely different ways. But they, it's like, you know, and then you see the trailer for the next Godzilla movie. It's like, I guess they got the memo, like, y'all know what it looked like, so we don't need to hide it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't realize how long we've been going. Let's get into the big one, the franchise that works. And I don't know where they go with this, and I'll explain in a second, obviously, but Mission Impossible Fallout. I mean, I've never been, I don't know, they always try and sound like video game titles, which always cracks me up. Ghost Recon, that, like, just whatever, like, okay. And this movie was really good. It's just, and it's like an understatement, but I'm just watching the whole thing, like, every bit of this has been enjoyable. It's got a little bit of everything. Like puppy dog romance, because, you know, his ex-wife and Wes Bentley collecting a check, which cracked me up. But, hey, guys, I'm just here at the end of the movie. So, all right. And then they got the other girl, like, pining for him, protecting him.
That looks just like his ex-wife. To the point where my wife is like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. When did she change outfits? And I'm like, no, that's a... Because she made the mistake that she was thinking, like, the flashbacks was involving the girl. It's like, no, that's his ex-wife. And it's like, no, it's not. I'm like, yeah, they just look the same. And I didn't realize it because you never really saw them together in the same movies. And it's like, I guess he got a type. Because they look it almost got to the point where they did look the same.
Well, what cracked me up was Elise had never seen any of the other ones. This is the first one. And I really didn't expect her to need to know anything. And they're going over all this past stuff. I'm sitting there going, "Oh, brother, this is not good."
You know, and you know the funny thing is, up until Mission Impossible, the one before that, you really hadn't seen the other ones, and she'd have been fine because they weren't really like linked like that. This is the first direct sequel. I'll just say this: Tom Cruise is insane.
Yes, and that's the gist of this movie.
Yeah, and to the point where like. The Halo jump, and I'm telling Darlene that he really did that, and she's like, yeah, okay. And then I show her the article, and she's like, is he trying to die? And I don't think people kind of realize, like, I think someone called Tom Cruise American Jackie Chan, and I think people don't realize, you know, they think it's like a gimmick, oh, he's really doing his own stunts. They don't realize how hard what he's doing is doing.
Yeah.
He did a Halo jump from 25,000 feet. You know what other actors have done that before? None. Like, that's Metal Gear Solid stuff. And he did that. And Henry Cavill talked about how he wanted to do it. It's like, you know, I've done some parachute jumps. It's like, yeah, you have, but you haven't done this. Like, this is, I've had to practice this for like a month. So we're going to get the stuntman. And I'm like, how good with the stuntman? Because that was a straight shot. And that's the thing I'm noticing, like, watching these movies, that Tom Cruise gets to do that other people don't do. You know how you watch other action movies, and they had these scenes, and they had, like, you never zoom in on the face, or if you zoom in, it's, yeah, like, 4 seconds, it's a lot of cuts. You spend 15-25 seconds Tom Cruise on a motorcycle, and you just zoom in on his face, like, yeah, that's Tom Cruise in a motorcycle in Paris. That's Tom Cruise jumping out of a goddamn plane. That's Tom Cruise hanging off a helicopter.
That was Tom Cruise falling off the rope.
Yes, and I'm like, they filming this for like a minute and a half, and you see him climbing this rope, and it's like no jump cuts, no, we're going to zoom and zoom, watch the back of his feet to hide. That's not Tom Cruise. I'm like, do people not realize he's doing this?
I think CGI has changed so many people's opinions of these things that when this happens, like, well, they just put his face over. It's like, no. They laid out all the stunts he did. And I know this is going to sound stupid, but I know him hanging from the helicopter was pretty nerve-wracking to watch. And I think part of it's really because it's him. And it's not. It's, yes. It's like, I know he didn't die, okay? But still.
You can see him. If it goes wrong, you can see him dying.
Yeah. Oh, and here's the thing. I'm sorry. We're talking about Tom Cruise. We're not talking about Tom Hardy. So I mean, we've got our pantheon. It's Tom Hanks, Denzel Washington, Tom Cruise. Those are the three biggest movie stars in the world. I guess The Rock. You got to throw The Rock in there now.
Mm-hmm.
By, well, is he the biggest?
Yeah,
is he the biggest or is he the biggest earner?
No, it's the only person that's like I can do a movie by myself and make money by myself is Cruise and The Rock.
That's true.
Basically, those two. Yeah, true. it's just those two because they at a different level than like Denzel and Leonardo DiCaprio. Like they'll do a movie and like I can do a movie and make $200 to $300 million. Rock can do a movie and make $4 to $1 billion. So it's like a whole and like Tom Cruise and it's funny where Mission Impossible movies make good money. They don't make a lot of money. Like this one was like made the most out of all of them. That was like $61 million. That's like that's chump change for like Marvel or like a comic movie, but that's a lot for anybody else.
Yeah.
Cause it's like it's hard to make money. And like you said, it's Tom Cruise doing this. Mm-hmm. Like you see him you make the jokes about seeing him run. He's in his 50s running like he's a damn sprinter.
Okay.
Just
on, and I know on the running thing. Part, how satisfying was it? He didn't run a lot in this movie. And I'm sitting there going, he hasn't run it all yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, he's doing that sprint. I'm like, there it is. All right, good.
You know that jump? You know that first jump he did?
Uh-huh.
That's when he broke his ankle.
I thought he said it was his foot.
Or his foot. They say foot or okay. ankle. Like, he made the jump, broke it, and then completed the scene.
Yeah, that's and you can tell, too. He gets up, and he's limping. And they said, yeah, we had to keep it because that was the first shot, I think.
Yeah, and it's kind of like this – he cares about his job. Like he said, like, I want my fans to get the best I have, and I'm going to put in whatever work to do it. You know how people say that all the time.
Yeah.
People, like, The Rock busts his ass and, like, sleeps 3 hours a day. He ain't learning to fly a helicopter.
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
Tom Cruise learned to fly a helicopter so he can, like, yeah, I'm gonna spend 6 weeks, 16 hours a day so I can learn to fly a helicopter, fly the scene, so we can have a copter fight.
And like, he asked you that spin – where, you know, it's going, that's him controlling the helicopter then. And they said even, like, professionals don't like doing that.
Yeah, like, Fast and Furious have, like, these practical effects with, like, these car chases. Like, we're going to have a car run to another car. They ain't having helicopters running the helicopters. Like, I'm watching this. I'm like, okay, Fast and Furious would be like, this is a little too much. And he doing it. And it's like, yeah, the movie is awesome. The last 30 minutes is just ridiculous. Like, all this, it's just like nonstop thing. And they have a helicopter fight, the helicopters crash, and then they have a fist fight afterwards. And meanwhile, Simon Pegg's getting hung while Crazy Bear Sean Harris, while Crazy Bear Sean Harris fighting Rebecca Ferguson after he hit her square in the head with like a wooden plank.
Okay,
like, it's walking tall. I'm like, why is she not dead?
I'm trying to figure out, what was the one J.J. Abrams directed?
Three.
Yeah, what was that one called? I don't remember.
Three. It was Mission Impossible 3. They went through three with numbers. Then they start going Ghost Protocol, Rogue Nation, and Fallout.
That one, like, three was the one that started, like, kind of like the more realistic approach. I know John Woo's had his, but the first one that De Palma directed was like, all right, you know, it's kind of like the old style. But three was the scary one because Philip Seymour Hoffman was a frightening villain in that.
Yes, he was.
And they shoot his girlfriend at the time, even though it really wasn't her. They shoot her, and you believe, like, oh, my God, this is, like, real violence is happening now.
Mm-hmm.
And this one kind of got back to that. I mean, some of that stuff, Simon Pegg being hung was awful. And then her getting hit, I mean, like you said, with a fucking board. A female got hit in the face with a board.
He hit the shit out of her. Like, he was not messing around. And, no, it's kind of like, you see, like, you saw all those type of things. Like, he ran her over with a car.
Yes. Yeah, he hit her with a car. That's right. Forgot about that. And they're friends. Like,
yes. It's like, you know, you got to do your thing. I got to do mine. And it's kind of like, you just saw that, Blonde, the arms dealer that he was flirting with, that's the daughter of the arms dealer from Mission Impossible 1. She stabs somebody square in the heart.
Yep.
While they dancing. I'm like, it's just a whole lot of bond. And then it's kind of like Henry Cavill.
Okay. What'd you think of him?
One, I'll have to say Tom Cruise must not care about people knowing he's short, because you forget how tall Henry Cavill is, because he was doing movies with a bunch of tall people. He looked like a monster. Like, he's just a big ass man. And every time he's showing this, every time he's showing the screen, like, yeah, he would have to be assassin, because he can't be no spy. He is not blending in anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, between the mustache and just how big he is. And I thought he was awesome in the movie. Just because it was kind of like, yeah, you doing this old spy prissy shit. I'm just beating people the hell up. I'm just shooting people.
See, I like that aspect. Yeah, him being a giant and all that, that was good. Because, I mean, they don't really have those kind of characters in these movies. Because Ving Rhames apparently is eating his Arby's money.
He's old. Ving Rhames is old.
He can't be that old. And I'm like, that's Marcellus Wallace?
Hold on. He was old when Pulp Fiction came out. Check when Pulp Fiction came out. This is this whole thing.
He was born in 1959. What's that? 59 years old. All right.
Yeah, everybody don't age like Tom Cruise. Like, Ving Rhames is a regular old black man. Like, yes. Like, he doesn't need to be, like, he doesn't need to be fit. Man, so why is he bother being fit?
No,
like,
shit.
It's like he's aging like a normal guy that's getting good checks.
See, I think my thing is, he's Marcellus Wallace, you know? That was the smooth, scary guy. Like, badass dude. And then in this, and I haven't seen him in too much. What was he? I know Piranha 3D was not his last movie, obviously, but
no.
I know he's been in other stuff. Besides Mission Impossible, yeah.
He was in those zombie movies. One of the remakes they did, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead.
Oh yeah, he was a badass in that too.
I mean, he's been in stuff. It's just kind of, he's old.
Weird. It's just so weird. No. You know why I'm throwing you off?
Because he looks like a normal age, and Angela Bassett looks like Angela Bassett. Okay. Where it's kind of like, that's what's throwing you off. It's like, she looks the same, if not better, and she's old too, but she don't look old.
Yeah. Well, all right. So, spoiler stuff here for a little bit. I thought they telegraphed way too clearly that Cavill was a bad guy. And I don't know if that was on purpose or not. But that I was like, what? Like, really, there's no like double take on this, because it had enough intrigue, you know, spy intrigue, whatever, espionage and that he could have just been doing that stuff to draw parts out. Mm-hmm. But when it turned out he was just the bad guy, I'm like, well, that seemed a little simple for this movie.
Yeah, I'll say that, but how they did it was just awesome, because, like, we got the plan, we're going to do this, you watch him. And then he's doing all this talking. You realize he's on the wrong team and yada yada yada. And then you find out, like, it was all set up just to yank him out. And I'll say this: when the scene was in the movie theater, people start clapping at it, because I was like, I figured he was the bad guy, but how they did that was just real slick. Because, you know, Alec Baldwin was there, and you thinking, like, you know, he's, you know, I got to bring you back because you too far. Like, he was in on it too. Mm-hmm. Angela Bassett was in on it, but it's like, okay, I know he's a bad guy. I'm just going to rush all of y'all, though, because I'm not sure about any of you guys. No, it was kind of like people expecting him to be a villain, because one is Henry Cavill, too. He's got a mustache like that. And then the way they filmed the trailer, you thinking they were fighting in that bathroom fight, which I will say, that's the first time I've seen a movie where people were rooting for the villain. When him and Tom Cruise was fighting that Chinese guy, and he was just whipping both their asses. People was like, they was kind of like, wow. Like, it's almost like the Raid. Like, I know he's supposed to be the bad guy, but he's so good, I got to respect him.
Yes. And they showed it in the commercial. And it was when Cavill just takes him and just seemingly breaks the guy's back in between the sinks through the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, like, that scene was violent as hell too, which was much of this movie. I mean, especially when he gets shot in the head or shot in the face, and he goes, Cavill goes, well, can you still get a scan of his face? He goes, I need a face to scan. And there's just all that blood on the ground, and I was like, wow, mm-hmm. There were some deeply, like, for a PG-13 movie, there was some, like, borderline stuff in this one.
Yes.
But it worked, and it wasn't sensationalized. It was, like, real violence. So I don't know, man. But with Cavill, I like the character. Like I said, I thought they telegraphed it. But there's something about him that he was just so dry, which I guess he should be, but that also carried over like into Superman as well.
You know what it is? You're being influenced because you remember him as Superman. So whenever you see him, you think about his actions in Superman. Not that he was a bad Superman, they just didn't do it right. Because I'm like, he's a force of nature. Normally, like Tom Cruise always, and the one I noticed it the most is Collateral. He seemed like he like 6'4" in that movie, even though he's still like short. And it's like they normally don't have people that's like taller than him or that's like more physically opposing that's like with him plenty of times in like movies. Because it's kind of like, you know, it's Tom Cruise. And this one is like, okay, we're not going to try to have Henry Cavill on his knees or Tom Cruise on a box. Yeah. And they just had this guy that was just this force of nature just, you know, like, you're a scalpel, I'm a hammer. And I'm going to just do hammer stuff. And then him being a villain, it's like, yeah, you can see him going toe-to-toe with Tom Cruise because he's got, like, almost a foot on Tom Cruise.
Yeah, and it was just a speed versus power thing. And, boy, when he gets it at the end, too.
Oh, if the hot oil first, when he take a damn hook to the chest.
I thought it was to the head.
Or the head. Yeah. Oh, yes, I thought he hit him in the chest. He actually hit him straight in the yes. dome.
And he just goes down. I'm like, well, he's not coming back because, you know, it was essentially the same villain from the last movie. They were just trying to break him out. But yeah. I mean, he gets hit with that winch, like the winch hook. And I'm like, oh, God, that was terrible. And then, you know, and what I was saying is in this one, well, one shocking death, Alec Baldwin dying. I was like, whoa, wait a second. And again, getting just straight stabbed, which makes sense because why would he be able to overpower him?
Yeah.
So, that's cool. Man,
it's been a long time since the Hunt for Red October. And it's right, like, exactly. Alec Baldwin's like, he's an old bureaucrat. This guy's a super assassin. Like, that fight, like, if you ain't shooting him and within 2 seconds, that fight is ending very quickly, as it should. But that was still a surprise. It's like, you know. Because it's kind of like they've established where people come back from movies. Normally used to be like you in one movie, you ain't the next one. And then since the third one, they've established like people coming back from movies.
Yeah.
And he's thinking he's going to be the lead. I guess Angela Bassett going to take that job.
That's what I figured too.
Yeah. And it's just funny, like, you know, she just get to look gorgeous and just, you know, Ethan just do this and do that and everything. But she was cold-blooded.
Yes. All the way through until like the end, she gave like that little wicked.
Shouldn't he retire by now, though?
Okay, and that's what I was. That's where I'm going with this. So he finally figures out like his girl, his ex-wife, is just traveling around the world, and she's remarried now, and he's got this other woman. Like, you know, she's free now, so that's going on. And most of these movies don't end on a happy note for him. Something else lighthearted or, I'll say uplifting. But this one, like, the ex-wife is good. I don't know why. The ex-wife is good. She's safe because the bad guy that knows her is gone. He's got the other woman back. He's got his country back. He survived, and he, like, you know, he goes, watch the ribs, and smiles, and that was the end.
Yeah.
That was very strange to me. But I'm like, I mean, they could obviously make another one, but it seemed kind of like, not a goodbye, but well, if we don't do any more of these, we're all okay.
Nah. I mean, they're going to do more. I think what will change is it's not going to be a big gap between them as they used to be because it's like it's going to hit a certain age where you can't do this anymore.
Right.
So, like, he's 55, 56 now. Yeah. He might have, like, maybe one more. He can't spend like 3-4 years between. It's like being 6 years old jumping off stuff because it's like even Jackie Chan had to slow down. No, I just like the whole. It's funny where every movie, and it even brought the point out Henry Cavill, you know, think about all the time he's been disavowed, think about all the times he's been betrayed by his country. How many times you think that would happen before somebody would just snap? And you think about like every movie except for the second one that's happened where he's been disavowed by his organization. The second one was the worst one. It's funny, the one time that doesn't happen is the worst movie out there. But no, this is just like a professionally done movie with a great action director, a story that made sense, great character actors. I'm looking for like Vanessa Kirby it's funny we talk about her being in that Fast and Furious movie. After seeing her in this, it's like I'm looking forward to seeing her in that, because I'm like, she looked like she just wanted to screw Tom Cruise every time he was on the damn screen. just like her mama, just like her mama was acting the same way. And it's funny, like when they dropped that line, I was like, oh, that's slick. And my wife was like, oh, who's like, if you hadn't seen Mission Impossible 1, which was like 22 years ago,
yes,
you have no idea why that mattered. Because normally, like, the movies didn't link, but this one's like, you know, like my mom, Max, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, oh, I remember her, like Vanessa Redgrave from the first one. Yeah. It's like, oh, that was a long-ass time ago. And it's like, they do little stuff like that to make the stories, like, link up and little things. Because before, it was kind of like, you know, each thing was like its own self-contained story. It was like Tom Cruise and, like, Ving Rhames and Friends. And now it's like it's their own, like, this is the first time they used a same director for a second time, just the first like direct sequel, like it was, and it was just like awesomely done. And then just seeing like the little flashback scene, like how dirty, like the when they do the whole break him out the first time, and you see Tom Cruise had to shoot the guy, you know, to prove that he's in there, and it's like, you know, he didn't do it, but you're not sure because they already doing, it's like the whole thing is kind of like, you know, how deep will you go, like how far will you go for your country when they say, you know, this mission, if you choose to accept it. And he's like, have you ever not chosen to accept it?
That was, I know they did that in the commercials too, but I thought that was a really cool line because I don't think that's ever been addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happens if he says no?
Yeah. And yeah, like, shouldn't it get to a point where you have to say no? And it's like, the first scene when you see, oh, a bomb went off in Rome, Mecca, and Jerusalem, he like, wait. Is it going to be like that? Like, I know they didn't get the bombs, but not the whole, yeah, you got to save the world before you die. Cause
yep.
I'm like, yeah, that might, okay, it'd be no way in the world. At first, I'm like, okay, there's no way that happened. Because if that happened in real life, people ain't going to be that damn calm.
Yeah. And it was funny because when they had that and he goes, all right, make the call. I'm like, oh, okay, it's a setup. All right, cool. And that's one thing we got to wrap up, I guess. That's one thing I thought they did a very good job with the trailers and with the commercials on TV. They made it seem like this movie was one way. And this is spoiler territory, I guess, in case you're, you know, worried about it. That you see something and it doesn't work out that way in the movie. It's totally mm-hmm. different. And it really protected what was going on. So I like that a lot. I hope more movie studios do that. Make it seem like the movie's going to be this, and then it changes to something else.
You need skit. That's the point of being a good, putting together good trailers, and that takes, as we've seen with how many bad trailers come out, that takes a lot of skill, evidently.
Yeah, that's and that's why, you know, Aquaman was protected all that time. So, but yeah, I got to get moving. So, we'll probably think of something else to talk about with Mission Impossible on the next show. Thanks for listening, everybody. All social media, Stunt Granny. We watch stuff on your podcast, Stunt Granny as well. And we'll get at you next time. Later, man.
Wow, for Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahidu Hadi, and we are out.